two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. And all the way from Las Vegas, actually, he just returned from Las Vegas not too long ago, is Jeremiah Jensen. Jeremiah flew down this morning to Las Vegas to attend the news conference of Bojan Bogdanovic and Mike Conley. And now he is back in the great state of Utah, or the city of Utah, whatever, however you want to say it. So, Jeremiah, top two things you took away from the news conference. You also had one-on-one interviews with these guys.
Yeah.
But let's go over the news conference just really quickly. Top two things that you took away from the news conference with Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic.
Top two. Well, number one, they both mentioned culture. So I think that matters to these guys, and I think it tells you that it matters to players around the league, that a organization has a certain culture that they've built, that it's a positive place to go play there, and that there's things in place that allow individuals to go in there and get better, but it's all for the team. So it's this nice place where you can go to work. I mean, we talk – all of us have a job, right,
yeah,
where we go to work, and there's places where there's a good culture or there's places that are a bad culture, and the culture you're surrounded in that workplace can have an impact on your life. These players are no different. They want to go work for a great place. And there's teams in the NBA right now that don't have a great culture. I think the Los Angeles Lakers don't have a great culture, which is why they haven't been to the playoffs for six straight years. They didn't make the playoffs last year with LeBron James. There's a culture issue with the Lakers.
You can say the same thing for the Knicks, too. Another big, big market.
Big time team. For the last 15, under Dolan.
Yeah.
You look at the Suns under Robert Sarver. It starts with ownership, and it trickles on down. Or sometimes it's general managers or whoever's running the show or making decisions. If they're not doing things the right way, that trickles on down. And so I think both of these players acknowledge and embrace the culture that the Jazz have built and created. So that was one thing that stood out to me. The other one was, you know, everyone's talking about who's going to win a championship this year, how wide open it is. And I asked Mike Conley up on the stand there, now that things are kind of wide open, that the Warriors dynasty's over, do you guys see this as an opportunity? And do you believe you're the team that could, you know, get that done? I'm looking up his response here. Sorry, this is bad podcasting right now.
That's okay. I
want to read his quote.
That's what's great about podcasting.
This is it. This is it. He says, "We don't know what it takes to win a championship yet." He's right. There's a lot of reasons to be excited about what Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck could put together in this offseason. I'll throw David Moore in there as well. This this front office has done a terrific job building this roster and has put this team in a position where if it comes together for them, they have the potential to contend for an NBA championship. They really do. The Utah Jazz are legitimate championship contenders. But Mike makes a very good point, and I think this is great that he's making this point right now, especially where Mike Conley is going to be, he's going to be the leader of this basketball team. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to take away anything away from Donovan Mitchell, but Mike Conley is a 32-year-old point guard who's, you know, he was a grit and grind with Memphis. We always love bringing up grit and grind, right? But there was a culture there that while it didn't produce a championship, there was success there, and he brings that with him here. He's won a lot of games in the NBA, and that's going to help Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan's going to learn a lot from Mike. But he's setting the tone right now that, hey, we have a good team on paper, but we haven't done anything. The West is tough. We're going to have to learn how to become a championship contender before we actually become one, and that's going to be a process, and that process starts right now. So I would say, Cleon, those are the two things that stood out to me, is that both guys brought up the culture, and then Mike Conley making it clear from day one, we haven't done anything yet. Let's go out and figure this out, and let's earn it, and let's build it.
And Conley, he's the one guy, whether he's coming in or any member of the current Utah Jazz squad, he's the one guy that's probably come closest to going to an NBA championship.
Been to a Western Conference Finals.
I've been to a Western Conference Finals, but even that season, I don't think anyone expected Memphis to advance to the NBA Finals. So I think you're correct. There's still something that he needs to learn to get over that hump, too. And it's been a few years since that's happened. And as he talked about in the news conference, you know, the last couple of years, they were tough for me. It was tough playing in Memphis because it's not that they weren't playing for anything, but for him, they weren't playing to go to an NBA championship, that's for sure. So it was not easy. The two things that stood out to me, and I'm going to play off your championship thing, I thought it was fascinating that GM Justin Zanuck came out and he basically said, we're going to embrace our expectations. That's like the one word that every time you ask a coach or a GM or something, you go, expectations, that one word. And it's just like, oh, no, we don't want to talk about expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, let's tamper this down. And we heard it last year, actually, from Dennis Lindsay. You know, this is a new team. They're built, you know, it's completely different from the season before. But I love what he came out and said. He said, we embrace our expectations. Yeah, we have work to do. And yes, this team still needs to gel. But on the other hand, we're here to compete. And we think we got a pretty good team that we put together. Yeah, it's just on paper. But it's just like, give us all the expectations you want, because we've probably already thought about them. We've looked at our roster. We've seen how deep this roster is. We know how good we can be. We know we still have stuff to do. But I loved how he said, we embrace this. You know, thank heavens, finally, someone who's, I'm not saying that people who have said that in the past, they're just being cautious. And I'm not saying he threw caution to the wind. I think he actually looks at this team and he says, we got a good team. I think we're going to contend for at least a Western Conference title. We'll see how it goes from there, but we got a good team. It was refreshing to hear. Maybe that's the one thing that I liked most from the news conference. Any thoughts on that real quickly?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that your front office wants to have confidence in the roster that they've built and believe that it's a championship contender. As I mentioned before, culture. All that stuff starts at the top. And when your front office believes in you, then you can believe in you. And once the front office believes in your coach, then you can believe in your coach. All these things go hand in hand. It's all part of building that culture of winning that is got to be in place, and then that's got to be there in order for a team to reach its potential. And yes, the potential for this Utah Jazz team is an NBA championship. That is a potential possibility, but it's not going to be easy, and they know that. But they have to believe first before they can achieve.
Now, I don't want to step on any toes of what you're going to talk to us about, of what's in your one-on-one interviews, which, by the way, will be on kslsports.com. They will also be on your Twitter feed. So, but two things real quickly. I wanted to pick one, but you didn't pick either of these. I thought it was interesting that Mike Conley basically came out and said that the trade rumors really prepared him to come to Utah, basically, back in February. He says, no, it didn't happen then, but it happened now, and now I'm prepared to be here. I also liked how Bojan Bogdanović basically came out and said, yeah, I looked at this roster, and I was really excited to sign with him, and I thought, $73 million is also pretty good reason to assign with the Jazz, since it was more than the Indiana Pacers were going to offer. But I think he looked at both and he said, I think we could be really good next year. So that was another thing that I liked or took away from the news conference. Two guys, it sounds like, are excited to be here and be part of this team. What else did they talk about when you did one-on-one interviews with them and sat down? I'm assuming you took each one by one and asked them questions.
Well, I wish I had more time. We did have an opportunity very quickly and briefly to get individual questions in with the guys, and I had a chance to ask Mike Conley about the emotion and the feeling of being traded for the first time in his career. He played 12 years in the NBA. For one team, that's rare nowadays. It's just in the age of 2-year contracts, it seems, somebody lasting 12 years with one organization, that's a pretty impressive run. But that had to have been difficult for him to go through that transition. And obviously, he mentioned a little bit in the press conference that the rumors back in February kind of prepared him for this moment because he had already gone through that, I guess, situation or those emotions and feelings at that time, knowing it could have happened, that helped him prepare for this. But he told me when it happened, it took him about 20 minutes to process his emotions and feelings about leaving Memphis. And then after that, he realized the opportunity that he has here. And it didn't take long for him to get excited about that opportunity. Look, he's a winner. And when you've lost a lot of ball games the last 2 years, You're it's hard, and I think this is kind of a shot in the arm for him. At age 32, he'll be 32 next season. He's coming off his best statistical season in his NBA career. Now, he was asked to do a lot more in Memphis, and he had to carry a load for a team that wasn't good. He's not going to be asked to do as much, so his numbers I don't think are going to be as good next year, but there's no reason why he can't be an 18.7 assist guy. And that would be a terrific addition for the Jazz offensively. This is a shot in the arm for him. He's going to give the Jazz might get his best year out of him of his entire professional career. He's still got the juice at age 32. He still plays at a very, very high level. And he's got a 2-year contract with the Jazz now. And I think that there's an energy that he's getting from this and an excitement that he hasn't had for a while because he hasn't been contending for a championship for the last few seasons.
I also liked in the news conference, and this was actually a question that you had asked about, what was it like working out with Donovan Mitchell? And he said, you know, it's fun. It's interesting to see such a young guy, such a mature guy, be able to take on the mantle of being the face of the franchise. But I laughed at when he says, yeah, he's a little bit more athletic than me. Maybe he said a lot more athletic than me.
Yeah, he's more athletic than 98.9% of the NBA.
On the other hand, when you think about that, maybe that's where he can talk to Donovan.
Yeah.
And he said, Donovan's such a sponge. And we've all known that. It's just confirmation. When guys come out and say it over and over again, it's just confirmation what we already knew about Donovan is that he said, you know, he's willing to learn. And maybe that's one thing Donovan can learn. You don't have to be super athletic all the time to be effective in the NBA because each one of these guys eventually has to tweak their game a little bit. Go back to even Michael Jordan when he won those two titles against the Jazz in the late 90s. He tweaked his game a lot from the late 80s to early 90s when he was Air Jordan. He didn't play like that later in his career.
And Karl Malone's the same way.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Conley has a chance to actually show that to Donovan Mitchell. This is what I could do earlier on. Then I had Achilles problems. I've had other injuries. You can be even more effective. Now, don't take his athleticism away. That's not what I'm trying to tell anyone out there. You don't want to take that away from him, but you don't have to be that guy every single play out there. And I think Mike Conley can play a big role in maybe schooling Donovan on how to be a good veteran as you keep going along.
For sure.
And Bojan Bogdanović, anything he said in his one-on-one
interview? Yeah, fans are going to like him too. He's kind of a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and he's just got a very dry sense of humor. And it's pretty, you know, it's not hard to easy to do in a second language, but he does it. So fans will like both of these guys, actually. Meeting them in person was really nice. To shake a hand and look them in the eye and say, "Hi, I'm Jeremiah Jensen," and they introduce themselves to me. So that's good. And fans are really going to love these guys and find them very approachable. But so my takeaway from Bojan Bogdanović, I asked him a couple questions about coming to Utah. First, why did you select the Jazz? And he just seemed really obvious to him. He wanted to be surrounded by these great players and have a chance to play with guys like Rudy Gobert and Don. It's very important. I mean, he was playing with good guys in Indiana. He found what the Jazz had to offer just even more impressive. And then also, I asked him why the Jazz are such a good fit on the court for him. And he talked about how the ball moves. And if you want to know what players think about and when they're making these decisions, the style of play comes into it. How am I going to fit? And I think Boyan saw this as a perfect fit for his skill set. This is a team that was looking for a player who could stretch the floor and knock down threes, and he can do that. And for him, he was looking for a place where he's going to get touches, but within a team concept. The ball moves with the Utah Jazz, absolutely. You've got a star player like Donovan Mitchell, but it's not he's not pounding the rock 15 times above the key, James Harden, and then going attacking the hoop or stepping back for a three. The ball moves. Everyone touches it. And that's a big deal for these guys. And the chance to play on a real team, not just play ISO ball all the time. That was really, I think that was a part of what attracted Boyan. He saw an opportunity to get what he wanted and to be able to give the Jazz what they wanted. It was a perfect marriage.
I didn't get to ask you this beforehand, so we're going to do a live question. Live, gee, it's recorded for everyone else out there. But I just need to ask, any talk at all about what position is he going to play? Is he comfortable playing both the three and the four? Because he's played both. I think what we had talked about in earlier podcasts and what a lot of people think is he's going to be in that final lineup at the end of games, but he's probably going to be playing the floor and banging up against some bigger guys possibly later in games. Is any talk about that? I would think that he probably doesn't care. He just wants to be on the floor.
No mention of position. Dennis Lindsay did talk about how Boyan's toughness was something that stood out to them that they like. I think they're confident he could play the four if need be. I think his preferred position is three, and even sometimes two. I mean, he's versatile with those positions, but I think his ideal NBA position is at the three. And so that's why I think the acquisition of Jeff Green, not official yet, we're still waiting for that press release to come out. They're spreading out these deals for economic reasons. But that's why I think the acquisition of Jeff Green is going to be so important, because he's an experienced guy that can even start in that four position and give you some of the things you're looking for from that power forward position that maybe someone like Bojan Bogdanović or Joe Ingles can't quite provide, especially defensively. I think that defensively, some fours in the league would be tough for Boyan to guard, and then vice versa. But or Joe Ingles. I think Joe would have a tough time guarding some bigger players. So it may not be a good fit for either one. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, that's obviously up to Quinn Snyder. And without Quinn there, he couldn't really speak to it. And I don't think Quinn would know until he gets these guys in at camp.
I think the interesting part that you mentioned was that you said Boyan has a dry sense of humor. And the first thing I thought of was, wow, he, Joe Ingles, that could be comedy deluxe in the locker room after games sometimes.
He reminded me a little bit of that just in the brief time. Just once you get comfortable with him, I think he's going to zing people a little bit, which is going to be fun.
A couple of quick things, because Jeremiah's got to get out of here. He's got more stuff to do. Could this become the most complete Jazz team ever? I guess I'd look at everyone that's out there, and I'll go back to the championship teams. They were good, but Stockton and Malone, and you could even say Jeff Hornacek, were not in their primes. They were late primes there. And in reality, at the end of games, they didn't really have much of a defensive presence in the middle. I thought those were good teams, and you could even say that they were deep teams, and boy, they were a lot of fun to watch. I still think about Jeff Hornacek's circuit shots. But yep. Could this team be the most complete team for the Utah Jazz coming up this season if they live up to those expectations we've been talking about?
Could be. I think you look at the talent, and Donovan Mitchell is a terrific talent, and what kind of a leap is he going to take? Rudy Gobert is the defensive player of the year. Can he add a little bit more offensively to make things even more difficult in the pick and roll and the different things that he does? And how will he adjust to not having someone like Derek Favors there to kind of help in the post as well? So he's going to have to make a little bit of an adjustment. But Bojan Bogdanović can shoot lights out. You mentioned Jeff Hornacek. I mean, Bojan Bogdanović is a 40-plus percent three-point shooter. He's going to be deadly from outside the three-point line, and he has the ability to take it to the rim as well. He can play iso ball. I mean, if you haven't watched Bojan Bogdanović film, go down my Twitter feed and find some videos I posted. He's got an all-around game. He plays at three different levels. He can shoot to three, plays a mid-range. He can post guys up. So he brings a unique offensive skill set that I don't think the Jazz – I can't think of many players that the Jazz have ever had that have that skill set. So he's a unique player and somebody that I really don't have a comparison to in Jazz history. So we're looking at some guys that are just really outstanding, and then you add Mike Conley to the mix, who's near an all-star level at point guard. We're talking about depth that I don't think the Jazz have ever had before, but we'll have to wait and see once the season gets going just how good they are. But on paper, there is a chance that this team could be in that level, possibly, of those mid-90s teams with Stockton and Malone, and, you know, even the best Boozer, Williams, Mehmet Okur, Andre Kirilenko teams.
Maybe it's a little unfair that I didn't bring this up, because I think it goes back, and I just thought about this while you were talking. It really goes back to Donovan Mitchell. The Jazz have never really had anyone athletically like Donovan Mitchell. They've had some athletic guys, but not someone that can, you know, dribble the ball like he does, jump like he does, but...
Not the jump like that with the all-around game and the ability to score from all three levels and everything he does. He's a complete package, yes. They've never had anybody as dynamic as he is on and off the court that can score at that level. It just, they've had guys with moments. Like, you know, Adrian Dantley was an incredible scorer, but his game wasn't above the rim. He didn't shoot threes. He worked in the post. Daryl Griffith had flashes. He scored. There was times where he scored 30 plus points a game early on, but they were bad teams, and he had injury issues. So they've never had a player this well rounded, this athletic, this popular, this everything like Donovan Mitchell. And you're right. All these things we're talking about are awesome, but it really comes down to him taking the next leap. And if he can do that, then we'll see where this team can go.
In a later podcast, I think we'll talk about how the West will be won.
I like that.
But that's
a top eight.
That's going to come up later. I want to know, who are you scared of right now? Lakers or the Clippers?
Easy. Clippers.
I don't think there's really much of a competition.
No.
I know it's not much of a question, but I had to ask it just because of how Kawhi made his decision.
No hesitation.
Holy cow. Is that team, that starting lineup that they potentially will have, I just think of not the offensive part of it. How are you going to score on that team?
They can lock up defensively. They're going to be really, really good.
That's going to be a scary team. And we'll talk more about them in subsequent podcasts. Again, you can find all of the video interviews, news conference of today's news conference, I should say, coming up a little bit later on KSLSports.com. Check out Jeremiah's feed. Thanks for listening to the Jazz Notes Podcast. We are powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for giving us a rating, a review, subscribe, let us know what you think, and we'll talk to you soon.